Prairie this morning, but I gotta find out for sure on that.
Okay, now, Richard, when was you born?
You got it working?
Yes.
Okay, this is Richard G. Taylor. I was born July the 1st, 1926, here in the Grand Oregon.
Were you born at the hospital, or were you born at home?
I was born at the old Grand Room Hospital.
And
I wanted to sit up just as you left town on the old highway.
On old Highway 30.
Yes.
When you were born, where were your family living?
They were living out on a farm on the Iron City Cove Highway.
The one that I remember when...
No, it was one just a half a mile east of that.
Oh.
On the other side of the highway. Uh-huh. There was an old house used to be there. We lived there just for... I must have been about 3 when we moved.
Uh-huh.
Or I was raised most of the time there.
How many was in your family?
Just my brother and I. My brother's 2 years younger than me.
That's Merton.
Yes.
And why did your family come to the valley? Do you know?
Well, my grandfather, years ago, someone told him what a wonderful farming country this was, so he took a train and come out here from, well, at that time he was from Kansas, but he was originally from Illinois.
Uh-huh.
But he come out to look at this valley out here and thought it was really good, bought that farm down the highway from where I was raised, where
uh-huh.
Mabel Hammond lives now, Everett Swiddle.
Uh-huh. Where Albert Hammond used to live.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Albert Hammond was your uncle.
I'm not sure whether he bought it that time or whether he brought my grandmother out to look at it too, but it's kind of under the opinion that he just bought it then when he was out here. I'm not sure. And there was an old house down by the river at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year when they built a house up by the road.
That old house by the river, that was what we used to call the greenhouse?
No. No, it was just, I never did see it. I mean, it was tore down.
Was it one of those houses that came from Nibley?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Now, this house we refer to as the old greenhouse where my parents lived when I was born.
Uh-huh.
That was one of them from Nibley.
Oh. What are the first thing that you remember when you were growing up?
Well, I'm not sure then. I can remember just a couple things about when we lived down in that old greenhouse.
Uh-huh.
Not very much, though, it seems like.
You and Corky first started to school. What school did you start to?
We went to Riverside School. It was down on what they call Red Pepper Road now,
uh-huh.
On down beyond Mabel Hammond's place. It's the next road, turns to the right, if you're going towards Cove. And down that, just after you cross the river and on the right-hand side. The building now sits over at Cove, back of Burton Hale's place, right on the west edge of Cove.
How many grades were in...
We had 8 grades in that.
Uh-huh. And you were how far ahead of Corky?
2 years.
2 years.
And when I got out of 7th grade, it had to close up because it only left... That was after the Courtright family had moved over by Hot Lake. And this another girl was getting out of the 8th grade our school, so it only left my brother and I for the next year, so they closed it up for a while. And about the time that it was closed for a few years, about the time Everett Hammond was right in, or the first grade, or that some other kids had moved in the district, they opened it back up for a few years, but only for several more years.
When they closed it up, where did you go to school?
We come to the Grand.
in Corky.
And at that time, Dad had to bring us to the Grand because we didn't have the school buses like they have now.
Mm-hmm. Now, the school district paid you a little
yeah,
bit.
They paid Dad a little bit
for coming in. And at that time, Corky was in the sixth grade and you were in the eighth grade.
And I was really kind of glad I come to the Grand for the eighth grade because I was kind of shy and bashful, and that really helped out that 1 year of junior high before I entered high school.
What kind of chores did you have around the place?
We had cows and milk. Cows to feed hay to.
When did you start raising rabbits?
Oh, I'm not sure how we got started on that. Our cousin gave us one rabbit, Wilford Hammond. Seemed like we bought a few others. And the first thing we knew, why we get more and more rabbits.
Well, you were selling them?
Yeah. I would love selling them now like they do, where they just send them to some butcher someplace, you know, ship them off. That time, we had to dress them. Merton done most of the dressing of them. I'd clean the rabbit cages and so forth.
Then you put the hides on stretchers, and then you sold the hides.
Yes.
Do you remember how much you got for the hides when you sold them?
No, I don't. I don't really remember that at all.
That was your spending money.
Dad got a lot of orders for us around town, different people he knew.
And quite a few rabbits were sold during the war when the meat rationing was on.
Yes. We got those stretchers for rabbit hides one time when we was down in Portland. We drove down to Elko Albert Hammond. And was down a place down there on Front Street in Portland. Sold that kind of stuff for rabbits. We bought the stretchers down there.
What kind of hobbies did you have on the farm?
Well, my brother and I, we done quite a bit of building model airplanes. Uh-huh. A friend of ours on up the highway a ways, Bill Bailey, he worked quite a bit with building model airplanes, and he was down at our place different times was building model airplanes. We had a kind of a spare room upstairs that we had really set up for building model airplanes. He's into radio and music supply because their son, George Tiss Jr., he sold model airplane supplies in there.
Mm-hmm.
We were pretty good customers of them.
Living out in the country like that, unless some of the kids came to your house and you went to somebody else's house, you didn't have anybody to play with. Is that right?
No. But we used to, in the wintertime, different ones, they'd always have a surprise birthday party for someone, have cake and ice cream and stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
I know my aunt and uncle, their birthdays in the wintertime, and Ralph and Kathleen Chenault's birthdays in the wintertime, and Dad and Mother's birthdays in the wintertime. So made different times that way.
And you used to go to the Grange?
Yeah, we were members of Blue Mountain Grange. My parents and grandparents were members of Blue Mountain Grange. And we had a lot of activities over there. We used to have dances there when we was kids. I know Dad always would call the circle two steps and so forth.
What was the function of the Grange? So the people
It was a farmers organization. They started to, they had lobbyists and so forth to get things through the legislature and so forth. And it was a social gathering, too.
And one farmer helped another farmer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then you were quite active in the Methodist Church.
Yeah, later we were in the United Methodist Church.
Remember the Courtwrights and Pat Conrad from Cove and Leon Perot and you and Corky and in school, the fact that you lived out in the country, and once you were able to drive the both of you to school, how did you do in the school activities as far as Were you in any sports? Or?
No, I never done much in sports.
Did you help in any organizations?
Well, I was active in the FFA. Took agriculture all 4 years, and I was president of the FFA, the grand chapter of the FFA, in my senior year in high school.
And what did you want to be after you got out of high school? What?
I always wanted to be a farmer, there's no doubt.
No doubt about that.
I did go to college for a couple of years.
That was
due in the third year. Went 2 years right after I got out of high school, and then I didn't go for a year, and then I went the winter term.
That was Eastern Oregon College.
Yes, Eastern Oregon College. Now let's go back to Riverside School.
Okay.
As a kid, I should have brought that up earlier, but we used to play kick the can, cops and robbers, nanny over, and we had a woodshed sit about 12 foot behind the school, and that made an ideal thing to play nanny over. We done a lot of that. We played baseball too. We were running around the baseball field the wrong way, and some sheep herder one time told us we was going the wrong way, and boy, we had to change and learn how to go the other way, and that was quite a problem to learn how to go the other way. And we never did have a regulation bat, we just had a hunk of stick of wood. And we enjoyed it. We enjoyed Riverside School. It was great. We usually got to school, brother and I, by we'd ride with the teacher that drove out from the Grand. We'd meet her at the end of our lane and ride to school with her. That building would be cold in the wintertime. She had to build the fire and get the thing heated up.
And how did they heat it?
With what? Well, there's a big wood stove in the middle of this room. In the wintertime, while we moved our desks all up around that. We had the portable, we had newer desks quite a number of years ago.
About how many kids were going to school at that time?
We'd have usually from 7 to 13 of us in that.
And that was in different grades?
Yeah.
The teacher would work with one grade for a while and then?
Yeah. We'd have our lesson with one, with the teacher, and then she'd go off to work with another group.
Did you feel like you got a good education?
Yes, we had a very good education.
And when you got into town where there was a lot more people, you felt that you were up with what the studies?
I remember one time in high school why Horace May Carter and I got the highest grade. One test one time, and we both went to Riverside School.
Well, that speaks well of a little country school.
Yeah.
But it was hard to come into activities. When you had things at the Riverside School, did the parents meet there? Or
Yeah, the parents would come, and then Miss Lon and Katie Ayers. This Katie Ayers was kind of a relative of ours. Her and Lon would always come to our school program.
You and Corky were taking violin lessons when you were growing up.
Can you
tell me a little more about your violin lessons?
I took violin lessons. I wished I'd learned to play the guitar, though.
How many years did the violin lessons go on?
I really can't recall for sure. Probably 3 or 4 or somewhere. That was called the National Institute of Music and Arts. They had a guy that come by and signed different ones up for music lessons. We met up in that building on the corner of Depot and Adams, about where the Top Shop used to be.
When you were growing up as a kid, you had a little accident with a knife in your eye. What happened there?
Yeah, the first knife I got, I was down in the pasture, and I was cutting off the top of a tough weed, and I was pulling the knife towards me. which is a mistake no one should ever do. I was really particular with our kids when they were growing up. These knives, watching them. Anyway, I stuck a knife in my eye, injured it. Fortunately, we had a real good eye doctor here in the Grand, Dr. Frank Ralston at the time. And I had about two different operations on the eye out there at the Hot Lake Sanatorium.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be different doctors go out there and operate. As a kid, well, I remember that where you leave Highway 30 and head back in towards the building at Hot Lake, there'd be cars parked to the left there all along that road there. Just one car right after the other pulled in there.
Hot Lake was called the Mayo Clinic of the West in those days.
Yes, it was. It was real good.
Do you remember when it burned?
Yes, I do.
You have any particular memory? Did you see it across the valley, or did you have to go over there?
I drove over with my uncle later that day and look at it.
Mm-hmm. The war come along. How did war affect you?
Yeah, that's another thing. That was a difference when World War II came. That was a nice Sunday day. I know my brother and I, we'd been playing outside and so forth. Dad come home and told us that he'd been uptown. And he told us that Pearl Harbor had been attacked. And of the war really changed things. My parents had bought a new 42 Dodge car just in September 41 when new cars first come out, 42 model. And that was a good move because they had a decent car, a good car for all during World War II, because in December that year, why they froze the cars where you couldn't get them unless you really had a real good priority to get one. And they were scarce as could be anyway. And what I really missed during World War II was Hershey chocolate almond bars. And I still like them to this day. But all those were sent overseas for the soldiers. Mm-hmm. Seen some oddball names of candy bars around during World War II. And another thing during World War II, when I was a junior in high school, I talked my dad into getting us a car so we could drive to school instead of him having to take us. So my dad and I went uptown to look at used cars there one day in February 43. And there was about three used cars in the Grand for sale. And one we decided was the best was a 39 Studebaker, and it was on the showroom floor at MJ Goss Motor Company because they didn't have any other cars that sailed in.
Mm-hmm.
So they had it on the showroom floor. So Dad bought it for $845.
I think I rode in that car a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. Black, nice looking car. It belonged to Lester Kingsley that used to have Kingsley's grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And he'd really taken care of it.
Well, with your model airplane building, you and Corky used to have little engines, and you got gas stamps for those little engines.
Well, we had our farm gas. Talking about the model airplanes, at one time when my uncle, Charlie Hammond, that was a bachelor and lived uptown here, up in the Grand, he decided to be nice during World War II to have those airplanes hanging from the ceiling of the Blue Mountain Grange Hall. So we had about 18 of them up there hanging on the ceiling, hanging some fishing cord down the ways from the ceiling in the shape of a V. For victory. It made quite a display at the Grange Hall.
What was your classification for the draft?
I was 4F because of this eye injury and also when I was a kid, I'd had some trouble with kidney trouble.
Oh, okay.
So that showed up. My physical in Portland for the service of December of 44. Mm-hmm. That was when I was going to college. Well, I was 4F.
Broke your arm about that time, didn't you?
Well, I broke my arm playing basketball in PE when I was a freshman in high school. Some of the other kids in that PE class says, oh, that's not broken. But I knew it was because the arm was flopping around like everything. And so I got a hold of the principal, J.W. King. And he took me down to Dr. James Hahn's office. It was broken. They had to set up, put a cast on it. And then I called my mother and she came up and got me.
Well, your Uncle Charlie owned a piece of property out there pretty close to your place, didn't he?
Yeah. My Uncle Charlie Hammond had 120 acres up west of our place of Lays. My dad always rented it, farmed it for years there.
Well, your Uncle Charlie was really interested in historical things. Is that where you got...
My Uncle Charlie Hammond was president of the Union County Historical Society for quite a number of years. Worked real hard on it.
And that's where you got interested in it?
Yeah, I was kind of interested more in history later. A lot of things I wish I'd asked my parents years ago now.
That happens to all of us, Richard.
Yeah.
When you started farming out there, you were on the John's place?
The year before my dad died, 1944, him and some neighbors, Beating brothers, they'd bought this John's place, which was sit over south of our place away, 1 mile. Anyway, they bought it. Well, then later my brother and I, we bought out Beating Brothers' share of that.
Uh-huh. You were farming. What kind of things did you grow?
Oh, we grew wheat, barley, peas. Well, I even grew some lentils at the time. Then after I got my irrigation well in 1974, we grew potatoes on a percentage basis. We had a real good operator, a Japanese fellow from Middleton, Idaho, that come in here and grew them and done a real good job with them.
What was the cost of that first irrigation system that when you put it in?
It was expensive even in those days.
You have any idea what the total amount was compared to what be today?
No, I really don't. All that well and a bunch of pipe and all so forth, we bought that 1 year with it. Come to $48,000.
Well, that's probably the worst thing that happened. The prices of everything went up and you weren't getting that much for the product.
That's what happened to farming. It used to be real good. Then it got so that the cost of your operation just went up and up and your price of the stuff you were selling wasn't responding. That much.
So instead of gaining, you kind of went behind.
Yeah.
You went to work for Boise Cascade for a while, didn't you?
Well, I worked for Boise Cascade in the winters there. Well, I worked a couple of years straight for them there in the 50s. 55, 56, 57, that area.
What were you doing out there?
I worked in the yard department. That was kind of interesting. Kind of enjoyed that.
What was the duties?
I done all kinds of things, even including painting the red stripes around the water barrels. And we also, at that time, they had a picket fence around the railroad, around the Valsat Lumber Company is who I worked for there before it became Boise SK. And a picket fence around, we even done some repair on that. We done a lot of work on those carrier bunks that they use, the straddle bug.
You stack any lumber?
Yeah, I sorted lumber and fixed lumber for the dryers.
What year did you get out of the farming and move to town?
Well, the last year I rented it out for a few years. We moved to town in 1988. About 82 that I really quit farming myself. I rented it out there for a few years.
You then worked for equipment?
Yeah, I worked.
Sales?
I worked for Beaver Creek Equipment, which had a lot there on the Island City Strip where Frontier Motors is now. We sold all kinds of machinery and a lot of track layer tractors that put lights on and so forth on the front.
You worked on commission?
Yes, I worked on commission only there.
One of those things.
That was different. You never knew each day whether you'd sell anything that day or not. But,
either feast or famine, huh?
Yeah.
Then, when did you go to work for the railroad?
I don't really work for the railroad. For a contractor that has a service of shuttling the railroaders around. I work on a regular shift down there at the depot now, just only 3 days a week now that I work. I started that in September of 87, going to work there. First I worked 5 days. Now I only work 3 days a week. Interesting job, I've enjoyed it. And we have some railroaders from Napa that stay over here. When they're in town, why they stay out at Howard Johnson's hotel, so we have to run them back and forth. When we see a call slip that one of them's called, we got to run out, get them, bring them up to the depot, too.
When you say they're called, that's when they're called for a train?
Yes.
And then you go down there and they give you where you're supposed to go and who you're supposed to pick up? Is that?
Well, going back to the depot there, we check their call slips. See when they're called, and we got a list of the different trains, potential trains that will be that day, maybe. And so when they're called, well, we write down what time the train's called for and who the engineer is and who the conductor is. And I do carry a beep or two, and they usually CMS, that's the outfit that calls them. Railroaders, they usually buzz me on that too to tell me that.
CMS, that's the name of the company?
Yeah. I'm not sure where the CMS is. Where it's, it seems like it's in Salt Lake, but I'm not totally sure about it.
How far do you travel in a circumference of?
Well, now things are just on a regular shift down there at depot. We tend mostly to westbound trains, because when they pull in, pull on up so their rear end doesn't block Fir or Greenway crossings. And got a little road that goes right along the railroad tracks there. We take the outbound crew up to the head end of their train and bring the inbound crew in.
And where is that head end located? Up the
Well, it depends on how long the train it is. But there is a road goes square up that's right underneath the bridge as you're going out of the Grand.
Which you used to call Ordell.
Yeah.
So.
And also we're out to Perry some, because they do tie down trains sometimes out there. And also on the Union Highway. Mm-hmm. There's some just out of town where they tie down trains. So.
As far out as Lone Tree?
Yes.
And Lone Tree is at the airport. That's railroad site.
Yeah.
Your interest in historical pictures and stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I've bought different pictures of the Grant in the early days. I got one just here lately of the old Perkins Motor Company. I'm really interested in these pictures of the Grant around here.
There. Helped a lot out at Island City, I know.
I'm a charter member of the Island City Lions Club. Been pretty active in that. Helped with the Hog Wild Days. This coming year will be our 25th one.
And the Lions Club, what's the purpose of the Lions Club?
They do a lot of good different places. We do a lot for the sight and hearing.
Uh-huh.
Talked about starting one here. I got a letter in the mail about it. I thought, I'll go up to a meeting. I don't know. Anyway, I ended up joining. I'm glad I did.
Your meetings are when?
We meet the second and third Tuesday. No, the second and fourth Tuesday, I meant to say, of the month. Evening meal.
Evening meal.
Uh-huh. We meet at Denny's now. Evening meal. 6:30 if people want to eat, or they come at 7 if they don't want to eat.
Uh-huh. The changes that's been made in the valley, what do you think is the biggest changes?
Well, how the Grand's grown, or how that between Island City and the Grand. That between Island City and the Grand used to be just small places, cow pastures. So far, a lot of new houses going up here in town.
All in all, it's a pretty good place to live, don't you think?
Yeah. My wife keeps telling me we could live any place. I said, no, we can't. No one can move out of the Grand.
How many children did you have, Richard?
We got 3 children.
How many girls?
I should say I married my wife, Phyllis Harmon, on October the 8th, 1950. We have 3 children. Ricky Lee Taylor was born April the 23rd, 1953. And then Kimberly Ann Taylor, her name's Wilbur now, since she's married, but she was born April the 18th, 1955. And our youngest son, Mark Taylor, was born, Mark Harmon Taylor, born January 16th, 1961. Rick lives in Baker now, and his wife. They have 3 boys. And Kimberly, she's married to Phil Wilbur, and they live in Milwaukee, Oregon. And they have 2 boys. Our youngest son, Mark, married to Laura Miller Taylor. They have 2 boys. All in all, we got 7 grandsons, no granddaughters.
You'd have a basketball team, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Do you have any hobbies that you do other than historical things, Richard?
Well, I would say I like woodworking, but I don't seem to do so much of it anymore. But I do kind of like working with wood some.
And you always kind of enjoyed cars, especially Buicks.
Oh, yes, I'm interested in cars.
Always Buicks.
Yeah.
I understand you're driving a Buick now.
Yeah. I've had 14 different Buicks.
Yeah.
Car shows, I really enjoy those. Down in Joseph last June there, and that was a real good one.
But cabin up at Wild Lake.
Yeah. We have a cabin at the Wild Lake there, and I enjoy that. Our kids really enjoy it, too.
And your wife worked up at Grand Round Hospital in the surgical department, didn't she?
My wife worked up at Grand Round Hospital for over 27 years. She retired March of 99. But she worked first on the floor, and then she worked in the recovery room, and later in the OR. Now she's a member of the hospital auxiliary now. Does volunteer work for her.
Do you, can you think of anything you'd like to change if you'd...
No, I'm just glad I'm not farming anymore. I used to enjoy it too.
It's quite a gambling quite, situation.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Quite a worry always too. But the farm was definitely a good place to raise the kids. Wife and I got married in 1950. When we moved to another place, we had this John's place on over a mile south of that summer before we got married. I had two different carpenters working on our house quite a while, fixing it up.
We were growing up as kids. I remember your dad, even though he was older to be a father, he played around with us kids quite a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
I know he treated me real well.
Yeah. Oh, he liked to have kids around all the time.
Winter, was it, when it was so cold, and didn't you have the, was it the mumps you had?
I had the mumps one year there, I know. I forget just when it was.
And then Corky came down with
then
him.
Then Corky come down with him. And
we were froze up out at your house.
My grandmother, they always have a, those years, they always had a birthday deal for her. And I remember I just got over the mumps and was able to go into that year with my mother.
But the car was froze up out in the garage for about 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Well, we had the car that day, I know, that we went to town.
Because I'd go out the end of the lane and try to catch a ride to Le Grand after Corky came down with the mumps.
Oh. Yeah. Ever
interested in fishing? I can't remember you fishing with Corky and I.
Yeah, not too much. I wasn't much. We used to catch a lot of catfish, though, in the slough back of our place. And we'd have different ones that would be out there at night fishing. We'd use a gasoline lantern so we could see our bobber out there.
And Corky was quite a hunter.
Yeah.
We hunt for pheasants out there.
I have hunted for pheasants, too. I enjoyed that. The pheasants have really disappeared. There isn't near the pheasants around anymore like there used to be.
Well, they took all the brush away from
them. Yeah, I know. That's it. A lot of brush.
Well, when they put in the state ditch, didn't that change a lot of things when they took a lot of the river out?
Yeah, it did. That changed quite a bit.
Your Uncle Charlie is down there. There used to be a big circle there. The water almost closed and then went around it.
It's a big peninsula. Yeah, that field, when you look at the map of that field, why, it was really crooked down along there. Uh-huh.
When they changed the river, about how many miles of river did they take out of the valley?
I'm not really sure.
But the state ditch made a lot of difference.
Yeah. Going back to when I was a kid, this between Island City and Cove, that was just a county road. gravel. And then the state was going to take it over. The state bought it. Or was going to take it over. So they bought 10 foot on each side to make it wider.
Mm-hmm.
When they grade it up, when they're going to pave it. We thought, boy, that's great when they paved that. That first year, well, that was in the 30s. Must have been around 37 that they paved just out of Island City towards Cove, just about 6 miles. So that made it right near where we lived. So my brother and I, we could ride our bicycles up there and ride on the pavement. Well, then the next year they paved, just several more miles. And then the next year or so, well, they paved it on in the Cove. That between Cove and Union, it was quite a few years before they paved that. Yeah, well, I talked my dad into buying me a bicycle years ago. Then he bought Merton one right after that. We really enjoyed riding our bicycles.
That way you could probably ride all the way down to Bill Bailey's.
Yeah, we rode down there a lot. One time I remember Alan Courtright, Merton and I riding from home up to Island City Store. It was called Hyde's Grocery at that time. The wind was blowing from the west really bad. It was hard pedaling the bicycle up there in Island City. Anyway, we went in there and got the store and got some candy and so forth. And when we left there, why, that ride home heading east with the wind to our back, why, that was really easy going home. That was the right way to have it, too, have it hard going on. Didn't have it easy going home. We ride our bicycles over the cold swimming pool, too, Oh, swimming pool, that was a great spot for us when we were growing up, too.
It's from Royal Bort Green.
Yes, Royal Bort Green. They've done a real good job of running it.
Aunt Lucille Hammond, wasn't she quite active in the Historical Society, too?
Yeah, quite a bit. Well, my mother was, too.
Your mother was Laura.
Yeah, Laura.
Taylor.
Yeah.
She was a Hammond originally.
Yes.
And Willie Hammond is your cousin.
Yes.
What did your Uncle Charlie do? I don't remember.
Well, Uncle Charlie, he was going to farm with Albert years ago. And in the early 30s, he got TB. So the doctor recommended they go down to Arizona. So he lived down in Arizona for a few years. Got over the TB real good.
Uh-huh.
And he never did do anything after that.
Well, I remember.
Well, I mean, he had his farm that ran out.
When your grandmother and your uncle lived down there on N Avenue.
Yeah.
And that was about the 1200 block, wasn't it, on N Avenue?
1100 block.
1100 block.
When my Uncle Charlie come back from Arizona, he lived there with my grandmother. Took after her.
What was Willie's dad's name?
Wilbert's dad's name was Arthur.
Arthur Hammond.
Yeah, Arthur and Claire Hammond. They lived in Island City. Uncle Arthur, he had a place where years ago where he sold feed and so forth, and he did later queen seed wheat, sell that. And Wilford Hammond, he has that business of queening seed wheat and so forth on his farm on the Island City Gold Highway now.
That was quite a bunch.
Bought that property where the Beezings was.
Yeah.
And when the Beezings brothers operated out there, they operated with horses and wagons.
Well,
when they fed hay.
They had tractors later. But.
Uh-huh. I remember in the wintertime, they had rubber tires on the wagons, and they had horses taking out hay
yeah.
and stuff in the fields, feeding their cattle.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Were the Beezings any relation of yours?
No. My dad farmed with Beezings for a number of years.
And to think that there was any thing that we hadn't covered.
Yes, that's what I'm wondering too.
Being on the farm, how did the rationing during World War II affect your family?
Yeah, it affected it. The rationing did. A lot of times we'd have a hired man when we'd come there. Why, his sugar stamp had already been taken out of his book. Mm-hmm. My mother always cooked for hired men quite a bit. And always needed different things to cook for them.
Awful good cook, as I remember.
Yeah, she was known for her cooking. She was known for her lemon pies she made, too. And when she'd take them, you know, one time we'd have an auction in Grange Hall. Those over there, my one cousin, Raymond Hammond, he bought both her lemon pies. He wanted to make a special point to bid on those. Rangers are having a time now. It's really rough on them. That Blue Mountain Grange used to have 120 members. And it's a different name now, the Grange is, but they're having, most of these Granges are really having a hard time backing on.
Is that the one right over there by McAllister Road?
Yeah. The corner of McAllister. Oh. Yeah, correct.
Still there, but
yeah.
Do they meet there very often?
Well, I understand there's still a Grange there, but I don't know anything about it.
Well, I remember that, didn't you help in putting at the county fair, they always had a...
Oh, yeah. A Grange booth at the county fair, Union County Fair, used to really be outstanding. A lot of Granges had outstanding booths there. And I was chairman of that for several different years. We'd always make a picture made out of the different grains and all spread out different kinds of seed, grains, grass seed.
So year I remember, didn't you have Mount Emily in different colored grains?
Yeah.
And
we had Mount Emily one time then one. By the guy milking his cow one year. A picture of a combine there one time, made out of a different grain. Farm Bureau used to give us rough competition.
Back in those early years, one farmer helped the other farmer a lot, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They used to trade around. Years ago, 30s, my dad and my Uncle Albert, there's a gas war down in Portland. You get gas 5 cents a gallon. So they took a bunch of 50-gallon barrels down and brought back a truckload of gas to do their farming with.
That was quite a trip. That was the old road.
Yes, I know. That was a long ways down there then.
I can't believe 5 cents a gallon.
Yeah. Early days of farming, our gas prices we had to pay would stay the same all year, you know, about. And then the last year, the farming, there'd be different raises or different prices all 6 or 7 times during the year, it seems like.
Everything went up with the price of the what you got for your product.
Yeah.
Did you have to have a combine? And, what all kind of equipment did you have to have?
Oh, I had a tractor, plow, discs, spring tooth, harrows, rod weeders, combine, had different trucks.
How did you select what products you were going to plant from one year to the other?
Well, I always kind of like to stay of wheat quite a bit, but they have wheat rations, which you only could plant so much wheat, too, a lot of times. So we had to use peas or barley to fill in the rest of the crop plant.
Well, why did we used to call the hog pasture out at your house with all that brush?
Well, used to have hogs always.
Oh. Well, how come they took the brush out and the stuff? That was to put it into...
Yeah, to make farm ground out of it.
Was that a good deal?
Well, that was a real good ground where you pulled that brush out.
Well, later it seemed like the wind would blow from Union to Somerville with no brakes. Was that a bad deal when they took out a lot of
that?
Well,
yeah, you had to watch about that.
Uh-huh.
We had strips up south of our house at one time there, but to control the wind.
Well, did they come along with regulations that you could only plow certain ways? Whoa.
No.
Did you have that? They're doing that now, aren't they?
Yeah, they do now.
But when you were farming, you didn't have those regulations.
No. There were, wife and I lived, we had a good windbreak on the south side of our house. That really helped around the house.
How far were you from that cut where the railroad had been proposed to put from Union over to Somerville?
It was only a little over a mile from that. Uh-huh. That was on the back of Everett Hammond's place.
Uh-huh.
We had places across our fields to go where they had the grade all built up and so forth. Mm-hmm. It was going to have it. Never did put it through.
But most of it is gone now.
Yeah, most of it's gone now.
I know Willie and I went out and took a picture of a cut out there on Mabel's here recently, and he said they were going to level that all out. It would have to be for the irrigation system to work. And when they changed the route of the river, that changed a lot for the water table, didn't it?
Well, there used to be quite a bit of water come down that. Mm-hmm. Flew back there, and then I don't know what the problem is now.
It's a lot drier.
Yeah. Of course, it's been drier here in later years, too.
Well, true.
1965, we had a flood out there. Valley. I had over 500 acres of wheat underwater. But luckily most of it only stayed on the wheat for 3 days, and then when it's dormant in the winter time it could stand it. And that was excellent crops though that year.
Uh-huh.
But it was bad harvesting because you couldn't go through the lower spots in the field. Had to patch around quite a bit.
Yeah. What's the best part of the valley to farm in? Like out Hot Lake, don't they have a lot of alkali?
The valley varies quite a bit. Type of ground.
Where was the best part of the valley that you've figures prime land?
Well, I really wouldn't know what part to say.
You know, we seem to blow it hot late.
Yeah. But, that's a windy place, all right. But,
you never run any cattle, did you?
No.
Mostly farming.
Dad, at one time, he was going to go in cattle business, and he had about 20 head. He finally sold them. So.
Well, the Beezings used to run a lot of cattle.
Yeah, the Beezings had a lot of cattle.
But they also had some summer range.
They had land up here in the hills on Rock Creek.
Many different things to get into in farming.
Yeah.
You have to be pretty well diversified in case something didn't work to have something else that maybe be a little bit better.
Yeah. I also, some of those years, I worked in the wintertime for Courtright Irrigation some, too. There in 66, I worked out at the plywood plant at Elgin, too.
Almost needed to have another job to make sure that everything worked.
Yeah.